Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's November the 21st, 2005. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. And later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons here in Champaign County. Well, in agricultural news, December and the Hong Kong meeting of the WTO are fast approaching. Milk, that's M-I-L-C, in Congress could be saved by an Illinoisan. And the CRP sign-up in this state is drawing to a close. I'll have more details of these and other stories later this half hour. Also today, we'll find out how rotational grazing can make a small farm look bigger and increase pasture efficiencies. And don't forget, just after the bottom of the hour, as is always the case, we'll discuss the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest or other important crop production areas around the globe. On this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, the folks from the Chesapeake Energy Office in Chicago will join us for our weather outlook. Stay with us for this edition of the Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. December wheat at 298.5, down 3.5 cents today. The March futures at 313.25 were off 4.5. December corn at $1.91.5, up 0.25. The March futures unchanged at 205.25. And the May contract at 213.5, up 0.25. December contract at 241, up 0.25 as well for next year. January soybeans, $5.72.25, up 2.5 cents. The March futures up 2.5, 579.75 the settlement price. May beans up 2.5 as well, $5.85.25 the final price for the day. And next year's November beans managing a 3.25 cent gain today at $5.98.25 for 2006. December bean meal, $173.90. They were up $170. December bean oil at $21.93. were down 8 for the day. January feeder cattle at the Mercantile Exchange, $112.67.5, down 92.5 cents. December live cattle at $90.32.5 were down 70, and December lean hogs at $60.65 were down $1.97.5 for the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange and what happened there is Kurt Kimmel, Grainfield Marketing, out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, you and Dave Dickey, actually Dave Dickey in your office this afternoon, isn't he?
Yes, quite an experience here. He's raring to go. I don't know how long it takes to get to where we're going, but he's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed here.
Well, I believe that's at 7 o'clock tonight, but I'm not certain about that time. You might check with Dave. I'm sure he's shaking his head yes right now. 7
yeah.
o'clock's right in Rock Falls at the Candlelight Inn.
Yeah, he's got the map and everything.
And you'll be headed up there to Rock Falls at the Candlelight Inn for one of our Ag Outlook. It'll be a free program. You'll be there along with a couple of other folks and Dave Dickey to talk about the marketplace. If anybody's around this evening in that area, they can drop by at the Rock Falls Candlelight Inn this evening at 7 o'clock. Now, let's you and I talk a little bit about what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange today. I want to start in the wheat pit where December contract managed to trade below $3 a day and finish below that, down 3.5 cents at $2.98.5 for the December contract in the wheat. Wheat's been pretty weak as of late. What has been in that marketplace?
Well, the export sales report was a little bit below expectations. We only sold 16 million bushels of wheat. The trade was looking for 20 to 25 million. Our inspections, that is, what we shipped out. For the marketing year, we're down about 70 million bushels, so there's a little concern that maybe wheat shipments might not be up at expectations, but probably the main thing we saw today was pretty good commodity fund selling, for say, as we keep moving lower here, we keep tripping some of the moving averages, and they've been long the wheat market here, and we're seeing them sort of position the other way around. Also, too, there's fears that as we go into the December deliveries that we could probably see some fairly hefty wheat deliveries, per se. So it's really a combination of things. If we shift the trend down in here, it feels wheat could be a defensive posture. Technically, the close below $3 up front in the December contract's not real good. And then even looking longer term here, especially when you look at soft red winter wheat acres, there's the idea we're going to have quite a few soft red winter wheat acres, even though maybe some hard or spring wheat acres might be down. The soft red winter wheat acreage is still a question mark as we go into the spring.
Sue Martin of Ag and Investment out of Webster City, Iowa, reminded us on Commodity Week, she was the guest there this week, that corn had moved down into its new contract lows, which we all knew, of course, but that it had been 34 years or something thereabouts that it had been making these kinds of lows on a long-term trend line. And then we turned around and we asked the analysts that happened to be in, the three folks that were in studio with us, whether they were bearish this market. And to a man, they all, surprisingly, I think, said no, that they really weren't bearish the corn market. And I think it was not that they weren't bearish the corn market, but that they simply couldn't see it going any further lower, and that it might be headed into a sideways trade for the winter and possibly into the spring months, depending on what happens if we have a normal growing season. What are your thoughts on the longer term for the corn market?
Well, short term up front, you can be real bearish where cash has been. I mean, we can go back down and may test new cash lows here in February because everybody's waiting on their neighbor. Your neighbor out there's not sold anything, and he's needing to sell some here after the first year. So we could probably, you know, maybe put a double bottom later on in February in here. But long term, the thing in the corn market is the carry. And, you know, DSO 6 up here, 240, and if we have a favorable weather next year, I think you could be bearish the deferred contracts. But historically, you look at those long-term charts, futures below $2, you want to be a buyer somewhere below here. And same thing in the cash market. When we dip to those lows we saw here last fall, traditionally, that's the lower end of the level. It's going to take something to get up out of the hole here. And we're down to some economic levels where demand's coming forward. Export inspections weren't quite up to par on corn. We shipped out 32. We need to probably get her over 34, 35 million bushels a week. But as a whole, corn demand's on target to meet the USDA goal. World buyers see value in corn. I wouldn't be surprised to see Thursday's morning's export. Well, it won't be Thursday, it'll be Friday due to Thanksgiving, but Friday morning's export sales report show another good round of corn sales, because that's the function of the market, is to go down and stimulate demand, and I think we're doing that in the corn market.
Now, I want to go back and touch on something you just mentioned, was that everybody will be waiting on their neighbor to make a sale, and I suppose this goes back to the LDP, which we can assume that almost all the farmers in Illinois, Indiana, probably Iowa, if they've had the opportunity, have taken their corn LDP, managed something above 40 cents, most likely probably closer to 44 on the average. But it's all sitting there, and it's probably all unpriced, or a lot of it is. And so there'll be pressure on folks to actually have to move this grain at some point. Will that come, I suppose, as they have to go see their bankers and talk about next year's production loans? And what time frame might that come in? And then how do you avoid having to sell on those cash lows, if it is the big question?
Yeah. Well, I think everybody's under the opinion and agreement, and it came true that we would see an appreciation in basis levels here, and that's happening now. And I think everybody's well aware of that, and I think they want to take advantage of that so they don't get caught in a downdraft after the first of the year and get caught selling like a year ago, the 1st of February there, and when they need cash flow needs. I mean, yeah, there's some big LDPs, there's some cash flow checks written there, and it's going to buy some time. With these higher input costs, they'll want to go ahead and move cash to finish up winter cash flow needs. Probably the thing you got to do is look at doing a good job of marking the cash grain, take advantage of this basis and reward the market. Then what you can do is some type of replacement, but you need to be a replacement up front. You don't want to go out to the carry and buy it. It's about like if you sell your farm for $5,000 an acre, well, that's good money, but you don't want to, if you want to buy it back, you don't want to buy the same farm back for $7,000 an acre. You want to buy it back where you bought it or less. So you got to reinvest in it at the same price you sold it at or lower, and you want to stay up front. You don't want to pay those carrying charges. You don't want that way for a summer rally as we get into some weather concerns next spring and summer.
All right, and then tell me about the bean market for the day.
Well, it's sort of buying time here. We got the demanding question. When you look at the shipments, we're basically over 70 million bushels behind last year's export inspections report. We still got a long ways to go in the marketing year, but this is the time of year you see sales take place and big shipments take place, and it's just not happening. Our main focus as we go into December and January will be, of course, South American weather. Each weatherman's got a different opinion, but as a whole right now, there's not a big weather concern in the Southern Hemisphere. So unless we get a weather concern in the Southern Hemisphere, look for the bean market to be kind of quiet.
And then on the livestock side for the day, the hogs in the December contract were down $1.97.5.
Yeah, we had some huge speculative positions in the hogs. The hog market's been in a nice uptrend here for the last few months. It's just like clockwork. We went below the longer-term moving averages. It tripped a huge amount of sell stops today. We're starting to turn the momentum down. Also, too, there's a question on the weights of hogs here. As we continue to see these marketings get current, we're starting to put more and more weight on these hogs. So the fear is we're going to see more tonnage of pork coming to the marketplace as we go into 2006.
Kurt, we appreciate you being with us today.
Very good.
Have a good trip tonight, by the way.
Appreciate it.
Kurt Kimmel is with Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. He and Dave Dickey are headed up to Rock Falls. They'll be at the Candlelight Inn this evening at 7 o'clock for a free WILL Ag Outlook panel. If you're in the area, please drop by again. That's free, no reservations required at the Candlelight Inn. That's in Rock Falls, Illinois.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
At the bottom of the hour, meteorologist from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago will join us for a look at the agricultural weather. AM 580's own Ed Keezer forecast for this evening. Lake effect, a snow advisory in effect. This actually for this afternoon for LaPorte and St. Joseph counties in northern Indiana. That was until 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, and again through 1 o'clock Wednesday morning, Eastern time zone. So those are a couple of lake effects, snow advisories in effect for LaPorte and St. Joe counties in northern Indiana. Tonight, Ed says, in northern Illinois and across the state of Indiana, it'll be mostly cloudy. There will be a few snow showers, some snow squalls developing near Lake Michigan. Elsewhere in Illinois, to partly to mostly cloudy. Lows will range this evening from 25 in northwestern Illinois to 35 in far southern Indiana. And tomorrow in Indiana, mostly cloudy skies, some snow showers, some lake effect snow squalls near Lake Michigan. In Illinois, partly to mostly cloudy. Highs tomorrow from 32 in northeastern Illinois to 48 in the south. The extended forecast Wednesday, mostly cloudy, some showers of rain, a little wet snow in northern Indiana, and rain in northern and east central Illinois and central and southern Indiana. Now today's agricultural news. The chiefs of the Pacific Rim economies, including U.S. President George Bush, Saturday called on all nations to show the flexibility necessary to make progress at the World Trade Organization talks next month in Hong Kong. 21 leaders of the Asian Pacific Economic Corporation say the ball is now in the court of the European Union to break an impasse over agricultural tariffs and subsidies, but it's far from certain whether the tough talk from APEC will prompt Europe to go beyond its ag offer already on the table. The American Farm Bureau Federation says House of Representatives plans to decrease agricultural spending by about $3.7 billion over 5 years, cuts too deep. And the National Farmers Union says it's a complete mistake. The bill was approved last Friday as part of the larger $50 billion reduction plan. Mark Maslin is the American Farm Bureau Federation's Executive Director of Public Policy. Maslin predicts the final ag appropriations bill likely will look more like the Senate version than that of the House.
The House took some out of about $1 billion or so out of nutrition programs, and given the politics of the House right now, the difficulty they had pushing a budget bill through, the debate on the labor HHS appropriations bill that failed, my sense is that the politics will drive it a little bit more toward the Senate version, or in other words, probably more out of commodity programs than
The AFB hopes the Senate House Conference Committee reduces farm spending cuts to about $3 billion, and that would be in line with the Senate version. Illinois' lieutenant governor is reminding producers that sign up for the state's Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program closes this Friday. Pat Quinn says enrollees who qualify will be entered into a lottery.
The way it's going to work is once you file an application, if there are more applications than we can provide with the $50 million, there will be a lottery. So everybody will have a fair shot, no matter whether you apply today or the 23rd of November or the 25th of November. So I think that the key word today is if you're interested in this program, get over to the USDA Service Center, get all the details, fill out your application, and then you'll be part of the lottery.
Illinois has one of the largest conservation reserve enhancement programs in the country, with more than 110,000 acres enrolled. Well, a Wisconsin congressman says House Speaker Dennis Hastert of Illinois has ordered House negotiators to include an extension of the milk income loss contract in the House-Senate Budget Reconciliation Conference report. Mark Green says there should be enough pro-milk supporters on the conference committee to push the measure through.
The speaker is instructing his conferees, which is half the conference committee, to vote in favor of a milk extension. That's very good news. Also, the gentleman who will be chairing that conference committee is Jim Nussel of Iowa, who is a milk supporter. So it's a huge step towards getting milk extended. Obviously, nothing's in concrete here, but I feel very good now about our chances of getting it extended for at least until the next farm bill.
Sources say the outlook now is for the extension of milk, that's M-I-L-C, based primarily on the political considerations for the 2006 elections, with the House conferees simply accepting the Senate provision. Congress is in recess and will return in December. The House returns on December the 6th, the Senate on December the 12th. And finally, the Bush administration opposes the extension through 2011 of the Conservation Security Program as proposed in the House Budget Reconciliation Package approved last Friday. The Office of Management and Budget said the merits of continuing this program should be considered in the context with other important agricultural programs during deliberations on the next farm bill. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agricultural Director Dave Dickey. Join us this evening at the Candlelight Inn in Rock Falls, Illinois at 7 o'clock for another one of our free AM 580 Agricultural Outlook panels. Get your specific questions answered by one of our panelists, Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Commodities, Roy Plody of L&M Commodities, or Bill Biederman of Allendale. That's at the Candlelight Inn in Rock Falls, Illinois, this evening at 7 o'clock. No advance reservations are required, and the meeting is free. We hope to see you there.
This is the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580. I'm Todd Gleason. Well, up next, cattle producers and dairy farmers with limited access to pasture can rotate paddocks to make their operations look bigger. We'll have more on rotational grazing with the University of Illinois Extension livestock specialist in a moment. That comes courtesy of my visit last week to a small beef farm outside of Mount Vernon, Illinois. There are many reasons for cattle producers to adopt a pasture management program, sometimes called rotational grazing. Mostly, it's because it improves the yield of forage, says University of Illinois Extension beef management and livestock specialist Justin Sexton.
Continuous grazing, or just grazing one paddock, only utilizes 35 to 50% of the available forage that's grown. Just by using rotational grazing, where we would move every 7 days to a new paddock, we can increase our forage production to 50 to 60%, almost doubling essentially the land that we have or the forage yield. It also improves forage quality, allowing for higher gains per acre. Manure distribution is much better, and we will see much less overgrazing with rotational grazing.
It is a flexible pasture management tool, too. If the acreage is small or there is a greater need for higher quality forage, the animals, of beef, cattle, or dairy, can be moved from one paddock to the other on a daily basis. If not, the rotation can be much longer.
Number of acres per animal is extremely flexible. It depends on how much work you want to do, and that dairy producers would benefit by rotating animals every day and may only graze a strip that 30 animals could consume, in 12 hours in between milkings. whereas a beef producer, where we would have maybe an eight paddock system where they would rotate once a week, may be the best use of labor and land.
Those rotations can shrink and expand with the seasons and the number of animals. As a general rule of thumb, the forage bean graze should be between 8 and 12 inches tall. Our cattle have a built-in ruler for that. It's about the distance from the end of their muzzle to their eyes. A pasture should never be grazed lower than about 4 inches. By rotating paddocks, the pastures stay in better condition all season long, and consequently, so do the animals. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. You can learn more about pasture management from the University of Illinois by visiting the PastureNet website. Just type Illini PastureNet into your favorite search engine.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Joining us now for our look at the cash grain market is Wyatt Muse of the Andersons.
Taking a look at some of the cash prices.
County, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Wyatt. We appreciate you being with us today.
Good afternoon.
Let's talk a little bit about the cash grain market. And I suspect that everybody's got everything put away and that you're simply getting rid of some of that, of what was originally, I think, 3.2 million bushels of corn that had been piled around the Andersons here in Champaign County.
That is correct. The back pile that's on dirt is just about picked up. It should be finished by the end of the day. And the front pile in the parking lot is about three-quarters of the way done.
So you're moving that out fairly quickly, and then you'll still likely have a pretty full elevator, I would think?
Yes. We're loading it out on trains as we're getting trains in, but we'll be loading them out for a good part of the winter.
And then as you've discussed in the office there, and we just had this discussion with Kurt Kimmel a bit earlier as well, it's very likely that most farmers have done their LDP and are likely setting on price. So there'll be a lot of grain that has to come into the market and may have to come into the market fairly quickly, likely in January or February, maybe as late as March, depending on when farmers are in need of cash flow for the next year's crops. How is it that they might avoid what probably will be a cash low at those times as well? Have you had discussions about when they might need to market the crops to better obtain a good price?
Yes, one good strategy that I've been recommending is to sell an HTA or a hedge to arrive where you lock in the futures and wait for the basis to get better, especially if you're doing that right off the combine. Maybe sell a March futures and take your LDP as it came in, then wait for that basis to get better. We had a 3 cent gain in basis today, and the basis just gotten better, you know, phenomenally over the past week or so. Actually, since mid-harvest, it's just continued to get better and better.
And speaking of bids, can you give me your bids for the day?
We're $1.85 for cash corn, $6 under the December. Our cash beans are $5.64, $8 under the Jan.
Well, and Wyatt, we appreciate you being with us today.
Yep, thank you.
Wyatt Muse is with the Andersons in Champaign County. Somebody from that office joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Monday afternoons. In about 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather with the folks from the Chicago office of Chesapeake Energy. Up next, your local newscast. This is the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. A Southwest Indiana lawmaker says he'll file a bill for January's legislative session in Indianapolis requiring a statewide referendum in which Hoosiers would vote on whether they preferred the majority of the state to be in the central time zone. Davis County Democrat David Crook says the move would prevent early evening daylight hours during the summer months, or rather it would protect those early evening daylight hours in the summer and prevent kids during the winter months from starting their school day in the dark. Crook says petitioning for time zone changes on a county-by-county basis has become too complex for county officials. Indiana legislative leaders say their upcoming legislative session will focus largely on property tax relief. Hoosier lawmakers said today they'll focus on finding ways to hold down property tax increases that could top 10% next year. Illinois Republican gubernatorial candidate Ron Gidwitz is proposing an economic package featuring a tax credit program providing state cash for employers. The Chicago businessman says it will help reverse a trend of good-paying jobs leaving the state by aiding employers struggling to grow. His plan calls for sending checks worth at least half the amount of state payroll taxes that employers pay for each employee they hire that year. The federal corruption trial of former Illinois Governor George Ryan is in its ninth week, and prosecutors say it's likely to run longer than expected. They're putting the blame on the time defense attorneys spend on cross-examinations. The prosecutors told Judge Rebecca Pallmeyer that that only 15 of the 70 witnesses they plan to present have been heard. They say cross-examination of their witnesses by the defense makes up 60% of the transcript pages. The Justice Department and Southern Illinois University plan to hold settlement talks over minority fellowships that federal officials call discriminatory. A statement issued by SIU today said the talks will avoid protracted and unnecessary litigation. The Justice Department contends that the minority fellowships discriminate against whites, non-preferred minorities, and males. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to The Information Advantage. This is WILL Urbana. We're joined now by the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, to talk about the agricultural weather. Mark Russo on the line with us. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Todd.
Let's talk about the Great Plains states and out west and how they've been faring and what the wheat crop condition might be like.
Well, we've certainly seen a decline in conditions over the past several weeks just due to the very warm and dry weather that's been in place up until about a week ago, and we turned cooler across the Plains region, but now temperatures have warmed back up, and we really haven't seen any significant storm system or any kind of precip system in the Plains in many, many weeks. So as a result, soil moisture has declined, and for the winter wheat now beginning to go into winter dormancy, certainly is becoming more of an issue. It does look like as we go into next week, so the week after Thanksgiving, it does look like the activity will be increasing across the Plains as kind of a southern U.S. storm track sets up, and it looks like numerous opportunities for precip will start across the Plains region starting about a week from now.
South America seems to be very quiet at this point, but other places around the world might not be that quiet. Maybe Australia, other growing regions?
Yeah, for the winter wheat down across eastern Australia, it's been very wet, and that is causing delays in harvesting and declines in the quality of their wheat crop. And certainly it looks like at least that'll continue this week, but it looks like as we go into next week, it looks like drier weather moves into eastern Australia. And overall, kind of Australia is our kind of main item out there in the foreign sector at this time. And it's mainly a wheat issue. Nothing really for corn and soybeans at this stage of the game.
And then let's come back home to the Midwest here for the Thanksgiving holiday. What kind of white stuff might we have in the far northern reaches of Indiana and the Chicago, Michigan area?
Yeah, certainly it looks like a chance of maybe some mixed precipitation here coming up on Wednesday as a storm system, actually kind of a clipper system with some pretty cold air associated, dives down into the Great Lakes and then on into the eastern U.S. Probably start off as rain and then change over to snow at the end. Most likely heavier accumulations will be up in places such as eastern Wisconsin over to Michigan, kind of taking the brunt of the precip. But as a result of that, you'll also see pretty cold temperatures for Thanksgiving Day, but then warming up as we go through the weekend.
Mark, we appreciate you being with us today.
All right, my pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
That's this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. You have a good and very safe afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.